because I wanted to speak a little bit about something about the being saturated with God. And then I realized we're having baptisms today. And then I thought, wow, this is good. We can bring these two together. And it's a beautiful passage, this. It's such an amazing Bible passage about when Jesus was starting out. So Jesus was born, and then he started his earthly ministry, and he went onto the cross and died for us. But when I think about our church vision of every person, every place, saturated with God, I know it's an unusual way of describing a relationship with God, to be saturated with God, but actually one of the best pictures you could have of that is baptism. And I know we've baptized with the font, and we often baptize at the font, and we also often baptize by full immersion. How many people here have been baptized by full immersion? Yes. And that's when you go right into the water, head to toe. You're in the water. Not for long. I've realized when I do a full immersion baptism that people float. I often forget when I'm doing a baptism where I have to push someone into the water. You have to actually use some welly. You have to really push them in. Have you ever seen the people bob up and down and this sort of thing? All that, you know, you need to get right in. You have to really use a bit of strength. But I think it's a beautiful picture, because the baptism is like being soaked or just completely saturated or filled, immersed in God. Isn't that a brilliant description? And when our God is such an amazing God, God is holy. He's perfect. He is a perfect Father. He knows all about us and he loves us still. He unconditionally pours out love. He's running to us all the time in love, in grace, undeserved favor. We don't deserve it, but God loves us anyway. We mess up, we sin all the time, and yet God still loves us. And many people wonder when they look at their background, you know, would God love me? Because of what I've done, because of what I've thought, because of what I've said. Sometimes people feel written off by God. But the good news of the gospel is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And you and I, we are included in the world. God so loved the world, you're included in that. That's amazing. And so the love of God comes to us. And as baptism is like an outward sign of an inward reality that we believe in Jesus. You know, when we said the words at the baptism today, you know, I believe and trust in him. I believe. Not just I think there's a God, but I'm putting my whole trust in him, in Jesus, to forgive, to wash me, to cleanse me, to free me, to save me from my sin, to save me from God's judgment, to save me from the result of my sin, which is death, eternal death. And actually, Jesus comes to us, runs to us, and he's given us this beautiful image of baptism to almost describe, this is what it's like to know me, to be saturated with me. The great news today is Christianity is much less a religion and more a relationship. A relationship that is based on repentance. Did you notice we said in the beginning of the words, I turn to Christ. There's a turning to Christ. There's a rejection of all that is evil. And it says, do you repent of your sins? I repent of my sins. In other words, we turn away from self and we turn to the power of his love and his spirit. And that's the Christian faith. We turn from sin to Christ. So the Christian faith is a relationship based on repentance, a relationship based on turning to Christ, on fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's not just a Sunday game. It is through the week. It's a whole change of life. In fact, the Bible describes it and says, it's like you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. So we can say goodbye to our old way of living in selfishness and in sin. And we say hello to God. We say hello to Jesus. We say hello to his kingdom of salvation and healing, of walking with him in his way, through trouble, through difficulty, through sorrow, but knowing he is with us no matter what. The baptism is an amazing picture. It's a relationship of repentance. It's a relationship of cleansing. And in baptism, it's like a picture of cleansing and washing. I won't ask you to put your hand up how many people had a shower today or anything like that. But, you know, we need to wash, don't we? And we wash outwardly, but we need to wash inwardly. I've got a lot of things, whether it be anger or greed or jealousy or rage or insignificance or pride. All these things, you know, you can name it, you know, controlling behavior or deep-rooted sins in our lives. And we need a spiritual wash. And it's through what Jesus did on the cross for us that we can get washed. It's like when he died on the cross and shed his blood. He was giving us an open door so that we could come to him and ask him to forgive us and wash us and cleanse us. It's a relationship of cleansing, washing. It's a relationship of adoption, a love that when the Bible says, you know, we cry, Abba, Father, to God. He's not distant. He's not unknowable. He is close. He is a good Father. He is a good, good Father. And we receive that adoption as his children. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. And it's also a relationship of intimacy, which is, again, what we'll talk about. I love the phrase that comes from heaven. This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. It's a beautiful phrase. That's intimacy. We're going to come on to that in just a moment as well. And I wonder today, do you believe in Jesus? Do you repent of your sins? Do you turn to Christ? Do you believe and trust in him? Because he's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to know God except through me. And it's Jesus that's the way to God. Do you believe and trust in him? Do you repent and turn to him today? And if you say yes, today is a day where you can turn to Christ. And we'd love to pray with you after the service in order for you to do that. But you see, the beautiful thing about this image of baptism is it's more than just about becoming a Christian and starting in that journey with Jesus. Actually, baptism is how we are called to live every day. It's the way of the disciple. It's the way of the one who follows Jesus. That's all a disciple is, an apprentice of Jesus, learning his ways. And when we believe and are baptized, because actually the New Testament, the Bible, proclaims that everyone who believes needs to be baptized. It's part of our obedience to God. So if you've not yet been baptized but you believe, we would love for you to get baptized. Come and let me know, because we'd love to. Sorry what I said earlier about pushing people in. It's not that bad. It's really great. It is amazing. I've been baptized like that, and it is so amazing to go through those waters. You're dying. It's like you're dying to self and rising to new life in Jesus Christ. That's the image. That's the picture. That's the sign of baptism. But don't we live that every day? Is that just for becoming a Christian? No, that's also for how, as Christians, we want to, as followers of Jesus, we want to keep going on, living that baptismal life, living that saturated life, that immersed in God. Sing here, because John, obviously the Baptist, comes and he brings in something new, John. When John, people who were around in John's day, they did know about baptism, but the only way they knew about baptism was that that's how, as a person who was a Gentile, that's how you became a Jew. That's how you entered the Jewish faith. You were baptized. You were washed. That's how they described it. So they would be used to thinking Gentiles are baptized into the Jewish faith. What's radical is that John the Baptist comes along and he is baptizing Jews. And he says, this is a baptism of repentance towards God. And John the Baptist says, produce fruit. In other words, this should change how you live. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This should do something in your life. He then gave quite practical instructions for people as to know how to live out this repentance. And then Jesus comes, and John the Baptist, who's telling us about Jesus, let me read this little bit actually, just before what we read, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering the wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So we see both here, John is saying there's the Messiah, Jesus, coming, and he is going to bring the Holy Spirit, and there's going to be this kind of judgment to come as well. So there's a massive amount of power, if you like, coming. John's expecting the Messiah to sort all the mess out, because not only is he now baptizing Jews to repentance, but he's saying it's going to get even more. The stakes are going to get even higher when the Messiah comes, and he's coming. This is John's message. Yeah? And so this is what people are seeing when they see this baptism. And I want to encourage us, just before we go on, to remember that baptism is about repentance. It is about forgiveness. It is about adoption as God's children. But it's also about the Holy Spirit and being baptized or immersed or saturated, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. So what's remarkable here is that Jesus, when he comes, that's why John is surprised when Jesus comes to him. Because John has just said, there's going to be a very powerful Messiah. I'm not worthy. We are not worthy. I'm not worthy to even untie his shoelaces. He's going to have power. He's going to do amazing things. And so he's expecting Jesus to come in a particular way, which is why John is caught off guard. Do you notice how he's caught off guard here? He's a bit horrified. He's shocked. He's saying Jesus comes to John and says, asks for permission to be baptized. The Messiah is asking for permission from John the Baptist. Would you please baptize me? And John says, no. It's the other way around. I'm not worthy. You need to be baptized me. Jesus came for baptism not because he needed to repent, not because he needed forgiveness or cleansing, because Jesus is the perfect, sinless Son of God. Jesus came for baptism because he wanted to identify with us, because he loves us. And that identification, that kind of solidarity with us, and Jesus has solidarity. Jesus knows our weakness. He is fully God, but also fully human. So he understands what it is to be human as we know it. Come. John was saying there's going to be he's going to come this way, and Jesus came differently. Of course, Jesus will one day come again in power and glory, and he is going to sort out the mess at the second coming when Jesus comes again. We don't know when. That will happen. But when he came on that day to John the Baptist, asking to be baptized, he was coming in humility, in solidarity. He was coming and saying, I want to add myself into what's happening here. I want to say yes to this atmosphere of repentance and turning to God. Yes, I'm in that. I want to agree with it and identify with it. And you know, Jesus identifies with us so much that he even on the cross takes our sin. I mean, it was one thing to identify with us by being baptized, just as we should be baptized. But he identifies with us so much, he bears our sin. He takes our sin. If you think of anything you've ever done wrong, anything you've ever done, said or thought that was wrong in your life, and what Jesus is doing on the cross, he is bearing. He takes it on himself. He bore our sins on his body on the tree, on the cross. That's identification. That's where he is wholly taking on himself the sin of the world. Praise God that he took my sin and my sorrow. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. So that because he takes it from me, I can go free. I can be free. You can be free today from your burden of sin because of the power of the cross that you can have in your life. You can know that power. You can know that forgiveness. You can know it. And Jesus comes in so humble. He comes in so low. It's so beautiful, isn't it? How Jesus deals with us. He is the King. He is the King of glory. He's the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And yet he chooses to humble himself because he loves us and identifies with us. This is a beautiful Savior that we have. And so John consents to the baptism. And Jesus comes and is baptized. And I just want to focus finally, as we close, on verse 17. Because it's such an amazing truth. In fact, let's just read slightly earlier. As Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Wow, what a voice to break 400 years of silence with. "This is my Son." The dove, the Spirit of God, comes and rests on him. And that public affirmation. I think there was something here. You know, Jesus is fully God and fully man. So important. But there's something here in his humanity, which I think is very helpful. Because we need encouragement. All of us. All of us. And I want to encourage the saints this morning. When you hear, you know, because Jesus, he is good, but he's also, there's a fragility to him in his humanity and a vulnerability to him. And actually, this moment in the New Testament would have helped Jesus to take courage and would have helped him and given him that assurance afresh if he needed it. "This is my Son." It's good, isn't it? God is the God who gives assurance. "You are mine. I love you. You belong to me. No one can snatch you out of my Father's hand. I am with you always, even till the end of the world." So good to hear the voice of God reminding us and assuring us and reassuring of the love that he bears towards us, that he has towards us. That is powerful. And Jesus, I think it's not irreverent to say that Jesus needed to hear that voice. As he began his earthly ministry, as he was ended up being despised and rejected by people, he needed to hold on to those words, "This is my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And that's why we want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's not church that gives us that assurance. It's not religion. It's not the world. It's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. He gives us the assurance of his love. And he gives it to us through scripture, but he also whispers it into your heart as well. And I wonder today, can you hear your Savior call you? Say, you are my child. I love you. And this is a time, I believe, for encouragement. In Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. In Christ, in Jesus, we're forgiven. In Jesus, we can know his peace, his love, his goodness. That's why I love Psalm 23. It's just like, so that's what Psalm 23 is all about. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's the very same assurance. It's the very same comfort that comes from God, the knowledge of his love. When you know the Lord is your shepherd, that's, you know you're secure. You know God is with you. You're secure. It's powerful. Because in today's world, we live in a world where often we hear the message instead, you're not enough. You're not good enough. You're not ... enough. How many of us have heard that in our thinking? You're not X, Y, Z. And that's not the Lord. How many of us have felt that sense of being overwhelmed? And in our humanity and in our vulnerability, we need to hear the voice of Jesus. Just like he heard his Father. You know, obviously Jesus is God. But I want to say we, if we believe and trust in him, we are children of God. Children of God. What does it say in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12? It says, as many as received him, as many as received him. If you receive Christ, believing, trusting, repenting of your sin, receive Christ. As many as received him, to those he gave the right to become the children of God. What does 1 John 3 say? It says there, behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is an amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? We are loved. And I think often we have to let that love sink down into here, from up here. This isn't just saying Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, off water, off a duck's back. This is, you know, God loves everybody, you know. Actually, Steve put this really well. I remember when he arrived saying, God loves it. Does love everyone in general, but you in particular. And God loves you in particular. And I think there's something to encourage us. The devil is out to discourage, to damage, to destroy that sense of love, that sense of intimacy, that adoption, that relationship we have with Jesus that is the anchor in the storms of life and in the trials. That's the anchor, Jesus. But the devil's always trying to undermine and damage and destroy. And this, and I really believe, I'm not wanting to sensationalize. I'm not into that. I'm much more into being low-key. But I do believe that this is a time of spiritual battle that lots of us are facing in many ways. You know I don't say that often, but there's a lot of situations that I'm aware of, and many I won't be aware of, where people hear and encourage the saints. And what do we need encouragement with? It's not a sermon from me, I tell you that. Sorry, for myself. It doesn't work. You'll be encouraged by hearing his voice. You'll be encouraged, and I don't mean you have to sort of hear an audible voice. Just read it here. And then you can hear his voice. It's not for those who are just prophetic. It's for those who can hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. You are loved. And that's why, coming to a close, but that's why being saturated with God. If we go back to the original question, what does it mean to be saturated with God? I believe it starts with knowing you're loved. Knowing you're loved. Everything flows from starting with knowing the Father's love for you, which is sometimes hard to take on board, especially if we've not experienced that love in life, or we've had a difficult journey, or we've had various situations that have damaged what we could lay hold of as that love. I understand that many of us here will have been through those situations. So it's not just easy to say, well, I'm loved and so wonderful. But it is important to make part of our life's work and part of our spiritual journey day by day is just to keep drinking in, to keep receiving the love of Christ, to keep believing, to persevere, to be faithful in continuing to trust in his love for you. There may be many of us here that need to ask for prayer or for counseling or for other help to help us peel away some of the things that over the years or over different situations have meant that we've struggled to receive that love as we want to. And I would encourage all of us to get that help, either through prayer ministry, through healing prayer, through counseling, in different ways. It's all good. And I would encourage us to go further and let those layers be peeled back and let God have our hearts because we have his heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Read in the Bible between the Father and his Son. It's beautiful. And Jesus wants us to learn from it. And Jesus wants us to take that moment and receive it also for our lives and apply it to our hearts so that we can go on with God. I remember for me, first time discovering this truth, although I'd been told from a child God loved me, when the first day I remember that hit home, it was really powerful, transforming. I wish I could say I've believed it every day since then, but I haven't. Some days we go with the voice that says you're not enough, or we go with the voice that says you've failed, or the voice that says you're overwhelmed, you're stuck, you're lost, give up. Sometimes we go with that voice. I've gone with that voice many a day. But just as another human being to brothers and sisters today, why don't we say today, Lord, saturate us in the love of Jesus. Immerse us. Fill us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals Jesus, shows us how much God loves us. And Jesus rescues us from sin and death and wants to introduce us to that relationship that is like the baptized life, saturated life. So we come humbly to God, not trying to impress God. God's not impressible, I'm afraid, although we try. He loves us anyway. We're not trying to impress him. Jesus wasn't trying to impress anybody. You know, John the Baptist gave him this great introduction, but then he decided to go very low because he didn't need to impress anybody. You don't need to impress me or God or anybody else. Just come humbly to God, and it's humility that leads to the encounter, just as it did here. And then we can, knowing that we're loved by God, and I just want to, I've said it three times, I'm so sorry. One more scripture to finish, because it's important. This beautiful scripture in Ephesians 3. How does Ephesians 3 says, you being rooted and grounded in love. It's interesting, isn't it? Rooted and grounded in love. That would be a good prayer. Lord, please root me and ground me in love. Are we learning to love in our lives? Whatever we may be doing else in life, however busy your week may be, are we learning to love God, to love others, to love ourselves? Are we learning to love? Rooted and grounded in love, so that you may be able to see what height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And here's the end bit. So that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. That's being saturated with God. And it starts with being rooted and grounded in love. So today you may be here and you may not yet be a Christian. And you may need to make that decision today. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And if that is you, then you need to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment that you can join with me in praying. To invite Jesus to come and to ask him to cleanse, wash your sin away, and to come to him as Lord and God and Savior of your life. If you'd like to pray that, you can in just a moment. But I'm sure there's lots of us as well that we've perhaps forgotten how much God loves us. And we perhaps need that reassurance and assurance and to take courage. Any of us here need to take courage in the battle this morning. And the way to take courage is to reconnect and say, Jesus, I want to reconnect into your love. You love me. Help me go from here to here and take me on that journey with you of a never-ending journey of discovering how amazing your love is. We can pray that as well. Is that okay? May we stand if you're able. Just as we're standing, I also just want to say that please get someone, talk to someone this morning, either someone you know and trust or one of the prayer ministry team. It might be that I've said something today that help, or either from us or a signposted where you might need that help, but please know that we're here today, broken vessels that want to support and love each other. So today, if you are here this morning and you've never ever given your life to Jesus, or you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, but this is how you can do that. It is just through turning to Christ and believing and trusting in him, giving him your life. And so if that's where you want to pray, then just pray along with me as I pray this prayer now. And if you pray sincerely from your heart, believing in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. So just join with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you today just as I am. I know that my heart is full of sin and self. And I know I need your love and your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, please forgive all my sin. Please wash me. Cleanse me. Give me a new, clean heart. I believe in you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross for me, and you rose again from the dead. And in that, I put my trust in you. Lord, I believe. And I pray, please fill me now with your love. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I choose to give the rest of my life to follow you, no matter what. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. Thank you that you love me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Perhaps just